It took only a second for her to understand.
You really stink.
Isolation is the optimum environment for creativity. It was his ideas we wanted, not the... Oh, never mind, I don't have to defend myself to you. Then why are you doing it? She did not ask. But he's slacking off. He's coasting. We want to push him forward, and he won't go. Maybe I'd be doing Ender a favor if I told you to go stuff yourself. You've already helped me. You can help me more. Write to him. Promise you won't cut out anything I write? I won't promise any such thing. Then forget it. No problem. I'll write your letter myself. We can use your other letters to reconcile the writing styles. Simple matter.
I want to see him.
He gets his first leave when he's 18.
You told him it would be when he was 12.
We changed the rules.
Why should I help you?
Don't help me. Help Ender. What does it matter if that helps us, too?
What kind of terrible things are you doing to him up there?
Graf chuckled. Valentine, my dear little girl, the terrible things are only about to begin.
Ender was four lines into the letter before he realized that it wasn't from one of the other soldiers in battle school. It had come in the regular way, a mail waiting message when he signed into his desk. He read four lines into it, then skipped to the end and read the signature. Then he went back to the beginning and curled up on his bed to read the words over and over again.
Ender. The bastards wouldn't put any of my letters through till now. I must have written 100 times, but you must have thought I never did. Well, I did. I haven't forgotten you. I remember your birthday. I remember everything. Some people might think that because you're being a soldier, you are now a cruel and hard person who likes to hurt people, like the Marines in the videos, but I know that isn't true. You are nothing like you know who. He's nicer seeming, but he's still a slum bitch inside. Maybe you seem mean, but it won't fool me. Still paddling the old canoe. All my love, Turkey Lips. Val. Don't write back. They'll probably psychoanalyze your letter.
Obviously, it was written with the full approval of the teachers, but there was no doubt it was written by Val. The spelling of psychoanalyze, S-I-K-O-W-A-N-A-L-I-Z-E, the epithet slum bitch for Peter, the joke about pronouncing new like canoe, were all things that no one could know but Val. And yet, they came pretty thick, as though someone wanted to make very sure that Ender believed that the letter was genuine. Why should they be so eager if it's the real thing? It isn't the real thing anyway. Even if she wrote it in her own blood, it isn't the real thing because they made her write it. She'd written before, and they didn't let any of those letters through. Those might have been real, but this was asked for. This was part of their manipulation. And the despair filled him again. Now he knew why. Now he knew what he hated so much. He had no control over his own life. They ran everything. They made all the choices. Only the game was left to him, that was all. Everything else was them and their rules and plans and lessons and programs, and all he could do was go this way or that way in battle. The one real thing, the one precious real thing, was his memory of Valentine, the person who loved him before he ever played a game, who loved him whether there was a bugger war or not. And they had taken her and put her on their side. She was one of them now. He hated them and all their games, hated them so badly that he cried, reading Val's empty, asked-for letter again. The other boys in Phoenix Army noticed and looked away. Ender Wiggin crying. That was disturbing. Something terrible was going on. The best soldier in any army lying on his bunk, crying. The silence in the room was deep. Ender deleted the letter, wiped it out of memory, and then punched up the fantasy game. He was not sure why he was so eager to play the game, to get to the end of the world, but he wasted no time getting there. Only when he coasted on the cloud, skimming over the autumnal colors of the pastoral world, only then did he realize what he hated most about Val's letter. All that it said was about Peter, about how he was not at all like Peter. The words she had said so often as she held him, comforted him as he trembled in fear and rage and loathing after Peter had tortured him, that was all that the letter had said. And that was what they had asked for. The bastards knew about that, and they knew about Peter in the mirror in the castle room. They knew about everything, and to them Al was just one more tool used to control him, just more trick to play. Dink was right. They were the enemy. They did nothing and cared for nothing, and he was not going to do what they wanted. He would damn well not anything for them. He had only one man that was safe, one thing, and bastard, and those bits had plowed into him, arrested him, and finished. He was going to play. He was finished. He was going to play. As all serpents waited in the tower room, unraveling itself from the rug on the floor. But this time Ender didn't grind it underfoot. This time he caught it in his hands, knelt before it, and gently, so gently, brought the snake's gaping mouth to his lips and kissed. He had not meant to do that. He had meant to let the snake bite him on the mouth. Or perhaps he had meant to eat the snake alive, as Peter in the mirror had done, with his bloody chin and the snake's tail dangling from his lips, but he kissed it instead. And the snake in his hands thickened and bent into another shape, a human shape. It was Valentine, and she kissed him again. The snake could not be Valentine. He had killed it too often for it to be his sister. Peter had devoured it too often for Ender to bear it that it might have been Valentine all along. Was this what they planned when they let him read her letter? He didn't care. She arose from the floor of the tower room and walked to the mirror. Ender made his figure also rise and go with her. They stood before the mirror, where instead of Peter's cruel reflection, there stood a dragon and a unicorn. Ender reached out his hand and touched the mirror, and so did Valentine. The wall fell open and revealed a great stairway downward, carpeted and lined with shouting, cheering multitudes. Together, arm in arm, he and Valentine walked down the stairs. Tears filled his eyes, tears of relief that at last he had broken free of the room at the end of the world, and because of the tears, he didn't notice that every member of the multitude wore Peter's face. He only knew that wherever he went in this world, Valentine was with him.
Valentine opened the letter that Dr. Lineberry had given her. "Dear Valentine," it said, "we thank you and commend you for your efforts on behalf of the war effort. You are hereby notified that you have been awarded the Star of the Order of the League of Humanity, First Class, which is the highest military award that can be given to a civilian. Unfortunately, IF Security forbids us to make this award public until after the successful conclusion of current operations, but we want you to know that your efforts resulted in complete success. Sincerely, General Shimon Levy, Strategos." When she had read it twice, Dr. Lineberry took it from her hands. "I was instructed to let you read it and then destroy it." She took a cigarette lighter from a drawer and set the paper afire. It burned brightly in the ashtray.